Stella Sabah. Hebrew Star Wars. All right, this is from the King James Bible. I'm going to read the introduction to the book of Judges, and then we will read the Song of Deborah. The book of Judges stands in stark contrast to Joshua. In Joshua, an obedient people conquered the land through trust in the power of God. In Judges, however, a disobedient and idolatrous people are defeated time and time again because of their rebellion against God. In seven distinct cycles of sin to salvation, Judges shows how Israel had set aside God's law and in its place substituted what was right in his own eyes. Judges 21, 25. The recurring result of abandonment from God's law is corruption from within and oppression from without. During the nearly 4 centuries spanned by this book, God raised up military champions to throw off the yoke of bondage and to restore the nation to pure worship. But all too soon, the sin cycle begins again as the nation's spiritual temperature grows steadily colder. The Hebrew title is Shoftim, meaning judges, rulers, deliverers, or saviors. Shofet not only carries the ideas of maintaining justice and settling disputes, but it is also used to mean liberating and delivering. First, the judges deliver the people, then they rule and administer justice. The Septuagint used the Greek equivalent of this word, kritai, judges. The Latin Vulgate called it Libro Judicum, the Book of Judges. This book could also appropriately be titled the Book of Failure. And on that happy note, no, let's go and look just at the story of Deborah. And then when Ehud was dead, the children of Israel again did evil in the sight of the Lord. So the Lord sold them into the hand of Jabin, king of Canaan, who reigned in Hazor. The commander of his army was Sisera, who dwelt in Harosheth Hagoyim. And the children of Israel cried out to the Lord, for Jabin had 900 chariots of iron, and for 20 years he had harshly oppressed the children of Israel. Now Deborah, a prophetess, wife of Lapidoth, was judging Israel at that time, and she would sit under the palm tree of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in the mountains of Ephraim. And the children of Israel came up to her for judgment. And then she sent and called for Barak, the son of Binnoam, from Kedesh in Naphtali. And she said to him, "Has not the Lord God of Israel commanded, go and deploy troops at Mount Tabor? Take with you 10,000 men of the sons of Naphtali and of the sons of Zebulun, and against you I will deploy Sisera, the commander of Jabin's army, with his chariots, his multitude at the river Kishon, and I will deliver him into your hand." And Barak said to her, "If you will go with me, then I will go, but if you will not go with me, I will not go." So she said, "I will surely go with you. Nevertheless, there will be no glory for you in the journey you are taking, for the Lord will sell Sisera into the hand of a woman." Then Deborah arose and went with Barak to Kadesh. And Barak called Zebulun and Naphtali to Kadesh, and he went up with 10,000 men under his command, and Deborah went up with him. Now Heber the Kenite of the children of Hobab, the father-in-law of Moses, had separated himself from the Kenites and pitched his tents near the terebinth tree at Zaanim, which is besides Kadesh. And they reported to Sisera that Barak the son of Abinoam had gone up to Mount Tabor. So Sisera gathered together all his chariots, 900 chariots of iron, and all the people who were with him from Harosheth Hagoyim to the river Kishon. Then Deborah said to Barak, "Up, for this is the day in which the Lord has delivered Sisera into your hand. Has not the Lord gone out before you?" So Barak went down from Mount Tabor with 10,000 men following him. And the Lord routed Sisera and all his chariots and all his army with the edge of the sword before Barak. And Sisera alighted from his chariot and fled away on foot. But Barak pursued the chariots and the army as far as Harosheth Hagoyim. and all the army of Sisera fell by the edge of the sword. Not a man was left. However, Sisera had fled away on foot to the tent of Jael, the wife of Heber the Kenite, for there was peace between Jabin, king of Hazor, and the house of Heber the Kenite. And Jael went out to meet Sisera and said to him, "Turn aside, my lord, turn aside to me. Do not fear." And when he had turned aside with her into the tent, she covered him with a blanket. And then he said to her, "Please give me a little water to drink, for I am thirsty." So she opened a jug of milk and gave him a drink and covered him. And he said to her, "Stand at the door of the tent. And if any man comes and inquires of you and says, 'Is there any man here?' you shall say, 'No.'" Then Jael, Heber's wife, took a tent peg and took a hammer in her hand and went softly to him and drove the peg into his temple. And it went down into the ground, for he was fast asleep and weary. So he died. And then, as Barak pursued Sisera, and Jael came out to meet him and said to him, "Come, I will show you the man whom you seek." And when he went into her tent, there lay Sisera dead with the peg in his temple. So on that day, God subdued Jabin, king of Canaan, in the presence of the children of Israel. And the hand of the children of Israel grew stronger and stronger against Jabin, king of Canaan, until they had destroyed Jabin, king of Canaan. This is the context for the Song of Deborah, Judges 5. Then Deborah and Barak, the son of Abinoam, sang on that day, saying, "When leaders led in Israel, when the people willingly offer themselves, blessed the Lord. Hear, O kings, give ear, O princes, I even I will sing to the Lord. I will sing praise to the Lord God of Israel. Lord, when you went out from Seir, when you marched from the field of Edom, the earth trembled and the heavens poured. The clouds also poured water. The mountains gushed before the Lord, the Sinai before the Lord God of Israel. In the days of Shemgar, son of Anath, in the days of Jael, the highways were deserted and the travelers walked along the byways. Village life ceased. It ceased in Israel. Until I, Deborah, arose a mother in Israel. They chose new gods. Then there was a war in the gates. Not a shield or spear was seen among 40,000 in Israel. My heart is with the rulers of Israel, who offered themselves willingly with the people. Bless the Lord. Speak, you who ride on white donkeys, who sit in judges' attire, and who walk along the road, far from the noise of the archers, among the watering places. There they shall recount the Lord, righteous acts of the Lord, the righteous acts for his villagers in Israel. Then the people of the Lord shall go down to the gates. Awake, awake, Deborah, awake, awake. Sing a song, arise, Barak, and lead your captives away, O son of Abinoam. Then the survivors came down, the people against the nobles. The Lord came down for me against the mighty. From Ephraim were those whose roots were in Amalek. After you, Benjamin, with your peoples from Machir, rulers came down from Zebulun, those who bear the recruiter's staff. And the princes of Issachar were with Deborah. As Issachar, so was Barak, sent into the valley under his command. Among the divisions of Reuben, there were great resolves of heart. Why did you sit among the sheepfolds to hear the pipings for the flocks? The divisions of Reuben have great searchings of heart. Gilead stayed beyond the Jordan. And why did Dan remain on ships? And Asher continued at the seashore and stayed by his inlets. Zebulun is a people who jeopardize their lives to the point of death. Naphtali also on the heights of the battlefield. The kings came and fought. Then the kings of Canaan fought in Tanakh by the waters of Megiddo. They took no spoils of silver. They fought from the heavens. The stars from their courses fought against Sisera. The stars from their courses fought against Sisera. The torrent of Kishon swept them away. The ancient torrent. Oh, my soul, march on in strength. Then the horse's hoofs pounded. The galloping of his steeds. Curse Meroth, said the angel of the Lord. Curse its inhabitants bitterly, because they did not come to help of the Lord. To the help of the Lord against the mighty. Most blessed among women is Jael, the wife of Heber, the Kenite. Blessed is she among women in tents. He asked for water, she gave milk. She brought out cream in a lordly bowl. She stretched her hand to the tent peg, her right hand to the workman's hammer. She pounded Sisera. She pierced his head. She split and struck through his temple. At her feet he sank, he fell, he lay still. At her feet he sank, he fell. Where he sank, there he fell, dead. The mother of Sisera looked through the window and cried through the lattice, "Why is his chariot so long in coming? Why tarries the clatter of his chariots?" Her wisest ladies answered her, "Yes," she answered herself, "are they not finding and dividing the spoil? To every man a girl or two, for Sisera, plunder of garments embroidered and dyed, 2 pieces of dyed embroidery for the neck of the looter. Thus let all your enemies perish, O Lord. But let those who love him be like the sun when it comes out in full strength." And so the land had rest for 40 years. Now the key scripture is, and the stars, right? They fought from the heavens, and the stars from their courses fought against Sisera. There was war in the heavens. There was war in the heavens. And Revelation 12 speaks of that war in the heavens. When a great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and on her head a garland of 12 stars. And then being with child, she cried out in labor and pain to give birth. And another sign appeared in the heaven. Behold, a great fiery red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 diadems on his head. Now, in the fall of last year, 2012, during Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, this sign appeared in heavens that's described here. It was a celestial sign, and it was seen in the heavens. There was Virgo, there was a crown of 12 stars around her head. There was a comet that came over her shoulder. The moon was under her feet. I believe it was Saturn or Jupiter was in her belly, in her midplace. She was pregnant. And below her was a dragon, this constellation. Now, according to the man who does Daniel's timeline, and I went to the Stellarium and looked at this because I was interested, since we were going to go through the celestial events and we'll mark them. And I know that the Lord, I believe, has shown me and quickened to me that March and November are key months for this year, event-wise. But February 24th is Purim, or the Feast of Lots. And there's a constellation. Now, I looked it up and on the Stellarium, and it is true, where there's a woman and there will be a full moon under her feet, and Saturn will be at her feet also. Now, this gentleman believes that Saturn is the man-child or Israel, and Coma Berenice is a crown. It will be over her head, and this will be on March 2nd at 5:15 a.m. The constellation, which is the herdsman or the shepherd, the harvester, as in the book of Job. And Arcturus means he conquers. So Arcturus is the name of the star. It's in the constellation Boots, which is seen next to bordering constellations are Canes Venatici, Coma Berenice, which is the crown, Corona Borealis, Draco, which is the dragon, Hercules, Serpens Caput, Virgo, which is the Virgin, and Ursa Minor. It's a constellation in the northern sky, from the Greek boots, meaning herdsmen or plowsmen. A lot of different interpretations about what is happening. But I believe that according to God's plan, that the herdsman would be the has split the only constellation in the sky. Serpens Caput is a divided constellation. The house divided cannot stand. And it's divided by boots. And Libra is the scale. I believe there's going to become a division over the, and a justice that God is bringing. God has called Jesus crushed Satan, the serpent. He is the herdsman, the chief shepherd. He broke the power of the snake, Serpens Caput. He divided it in two. The house is divided. He crushed Scorpio under the scales of his justice in order to protect Virgo in the night sky. This is along the ecliptic, this particular constellation. Remember I said March 2nd, 2013 at 5:58 a.m. this will happen. The full moon will be under the feet of Virgo. There will be a deliverance for the house of Israel. But as you can see, the state of Israel is much like I had in I articulated in the introduction to the book of Judges. This is very significant. This is also significant because this is the year of the snake and the year of the serpent. The battle is on. The battle is on. Now, Pesach. So that's the first section, February 24th, which is Purim. This is Esther's feast. There's going to be, starting up through March 2nd, there's going to be a conflict at this time over Israel. Great conflict. Look, she's bought some of it on herself, but the Lord is going to go to battle for her. He is going to raise up them. On Pesach, I want to speak about them. March 26 is Pesach. And remember, I discussed the comet Pan-STARRS. Let's look at that again. All right, let's look at the comet Pan-STARRS. Discovered June 2011. Remember, comets are unpredictable in their behavior. Depending upon the electromagnetic energies that are happening in the solar system, and according to the activity, the electromagnetic activity of the sun and other objects, space objects, which can influence or direct a comet's trajectory through our solar system. Now, Pan-STARRS was given that name because it was discovered using the Pan-STARRS 1 telescope at Haleakala, Hawaii. It's going to be from March 10th through March 24th. And it will be very visible in the western north sky shortly after sunset. And on March 12th, it will be situated 4 degrees to the right of an exceedingly thin crescent moon. Now, I want to suggest that this is the rise of evil and Islam, and that this is a portent, and that the powers of darkness that this represents, and yes, Allah is Satan, and he's a god of lying and death and murder and violence and betrayal at every level. Having studied Islam for years, he comes speaking peace, but he does not have peace. There are swords, butter and honey are in his mouth, but swords are drawn in his heart. And he will come speaking peace and saying all these things, but there will be a rising up. And I want to suggest to you that it will be over this time of Passover, a time of deliverance for the people of Israel, a time speaks of the exodus out of Babylon. So there's going to be a certain kind of deliverance that's going to happen in this time of judging really what is going on with Israel as a nation. This is about the time clock. The prophetic time clock is the nation of Israel. Now, Israel is a nation God orchestrated to come to pass, but it is not under the government of the Lord. It is not the Lord's nation yet. It is in the process of being birthed, and I believe that it will be a very bloody and violent birth, just like anybody who's birthed anything knows that these things are not, these things do not happen easily. I want to go back, if we could, to Daniel's timeline and just speak to you about this particular, there is a particular scripture passage where Jesus talks about It's in Matthew. In Matthew 24, where Yeshua is speaking of his return and the condition that shall happen, he says, "And the love of many shall wax cold, but he that endures to the end, the same shall be saved. And the gospel of the kingdom shall be preached to all the world for witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. When you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of the house. Neither let him which is in the field turn back to take his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child and to them that give suck in those days. But pray that your flight be not in winter, neither on the Sabbath day, for then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except that these days be shortened, there should be no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, these days shall be shortened." Now, I wanted to talk to you. This gentleman had a very interesting breakdown that if you go to 2016 to the feast of Rosh Hashanah and you count back 1260 days, you will end up at March 21st. March 21st, which is the end. You'll be end at March 22nd, okay? 2013. 1260 days would be to Rosh Hashanah. Okay? And March 21st is the end of winter. And right between those 2 days, the Sabbath is March 23rd. So March 22nd, he conjectures, is this day that the flight, that there's possibly a demarcation of 1260 days until Rosh Hashanah 2016. Now, why is this significant? Okay, per other people's work, specifically Mark Biltz, who talked about the events that are happening, and I want to get my notes exactly here to give them to you, during the year of 2014 and 2015. On the feast days in 2014 and 2015, there will be tetrads. That's four lunar eclipse. On Passover, April 15th, 2014, there's a lunar eclipse. On the Feast of Tabernacles, October 9th, 2014, there's a lunar eclipse. On 2015, in Passover, April 4th, 2015, there's a lunar eclipse. The Feast of Tabs, September 23rd, 2015, there's a lunar eclipse. So these are four consecutive total lunar eclipses during Passover, Feast of Tabs, Passover, Feast of Tabs, years 2014 and 2015. And there are two solar eclipses on Rosh Hashanah that year and the Feast of Trumpets. Well, okay, so that's very nice, Kathleen. So what does that mean? That means that the only time this has happened in the previous century has been between 1947 and 1948, when Israel became a nation, and 1968 and 69, when Jerusalem became the undivided city, capital of Israel. Hence, the year 2014 and 2015 is a birthing, a laboring with signs in the heavens. The moon shall, as it says in Joel chapter 2, verse 30, "And I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved, for in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there shall be deliverance, as the Lord has said among the remnant whom the Lord calls. For behold, in those days and at that time when I bring back the captives of Judah and Jerusalem, that would be Israel and Jerusalem, I will also gather all nations, that would be the United Nations, and bring them down to the valley of Jehoshaphat, and I will enter into judgment with them there on the account of my people, my heritage Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations. They have also divided up my land. They have cast lots for my people, have given a boy as a payment for a harlot, and sold a girl for wine that they may drink. All right, so these are signs, these are portents of things in the heavens. And that God, this is about Israel. And so this is pointing to March 22nd. This comet Pan-STARRS. He's panning the stars, okay? Pan-STARRS. Oh, so the god Pan, which is Baphomet, the goat god, okay? Pan at Banias at the foot of Mount Hermon, you know, the demon god. And this, the crescent moon with the comet will be right there. And it speaks of the horned god. Not the God that we serve, the God of Jehovah, the God of the covenant that keeps the commandments, the Ten Commandments. And this may be a portent into that time and that season that we are moving into. Now let's move to, and this is 2013, so that's March. And what, the end of March is a very significant month this year. Extremely significant. We may be looking at war, okay? We may be looking at, that's when war will break out in the Middle East. And Lord have mercy on us all.